to get to the park. But aren't we blessed to have voices like this? If you're new to Christianity and you hear a bunch of music and you hear the blood of the Lamb, maybe it doesn't even mean that much to you. But I'm hoping that through these services and you coming and being a part of this, you'll begin understanding with this music that Bonnie and the girls pick out. It is always biblical, and it's designed to bring us into this time of worship and get a fuller understanding of what the power of Jesus and God is. This summer, it was good out in the park. It was nice being outside. And we've been on a little journey about being attached to the vine. And when Jesus was preaching, he said that, look, I am the vine and you are the branches. And without me, if you detach yourself from me, you cannot bear any fruits of the Spirit, having peace. And I'm going to kind of continue with that today. But before I do that, I want to share a little bit about this book we call the Bible and how important it has become in my life. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that know me, I'm no different than anybody in here, but I will tell you that there is power in God's Word. There is power in God's Word. And the reason there's power in God's Word, the reason we know that is right in the first book of Genesis. It says that God created everything in the universe by His Word. Let there be light, let there be mountains, let there be dinosaurs, let there be... He called His words, His Word contains power. So when we fill our lives with God's Word, we are filling our lives with God's power. What I want to show you this morning, something interesting, is those of you that have been coming to church, you know that we are what we call New Testament Christians. New Testament. In other words, Jesus came and changed the rules and the way we worship. But there's something interesting about this Bible. This is a New King James Version Bible. This right here is the New Testament. All of this is the Old Testament. Now, where I've come in my life is I know that God didn't put anything in this Bible just for fluff. If you look at this, the Old Testament is 3/4 of the Bible. 3/4. This is the New Testament. This is where we were saved by grace. But why so much of this Old Testament? 3/4 of the messages in the Bible is in the Old Testament. And the reason is all Scripture is good for us to help us connect to the vine of Jesus. All of this points to Jesus. This is all about Jesus. But the Old Testament, what it gives us is some amazing stories showing how patient and how amazingly loving our God is. This whole Old Testament, if you read through this and you study it, you will find out that God was consistently reaching down, trying to save His people, which is us. He loves us. He wants to save us. He wants us to be part of something grand and wonderful and big. But as we all know, this life is very difficult and very tough. Last time we met at the park, I gave an analogy of the physical and the spiritual. We're a physical being and we're a spiritual being. They work hand in hand. As long as we're in this earth, we're always battling with that which is spiritual and that which is physical. And one of the things I said is many of the things that we see is really an outward appearance of spiritual things. My daughter-in-law here, Savannah, she's pregnant. And right now she's got a little boy in her womb. And that little boy is attached to an umbilical cord. And that umbilical cord is feeding that little boy everything he needs to develop and grow and become a person that will someday soon be coming into this world. That umbilical cord is his lifeline to get everything he needs, his nourishment, everything, is oxygen, whatever God has placed in the ability of a woman to create, which is fascinating in it. God created us to be creators. He gave us the opportunity to create just like we do it differently, but we have the opportunity of creating just like He did. He made man, He made Adam and Eve, and we now are able to create. And I believe the reason He did that is so we can understand the love when we have a child. Brett and Savannah don't know this yet. But when that little baby, Cooper, comes into this world, they're going to know a love that they've never known before. And all of you that have children or grandchildren, you understand that there's a love that you cannot describe until you become a parent. Until you fall in love with this new being that you created. And the reason I believe God did it that way is so we can have a glimpse of what His love is for us. It points to an amazing thing. Now, when little Cooper comes into this world, that umbilical cord will be cut. And now he'll be in the physical world. And the duty of us in this physical world is to build now. We're going to grow spiritually. God made that happen in our DNA. As long as that little boy is fed and taken care of and nourished, he's going to grow. We have no control over that. God's designed that. But what we do have control over now, we need an umbilical cord of spiritual means so our spirit person, which will live forever, develops. And right now, and I believe in the Christian church, most Christians are not spiritually developed, and therefore they walk as carnal Christians, and they're not experiencing the power and the miracles and the grace of God like they could. And that's the point of church. It's never about to hook up to the pastor or a denomination or anything like that. The whole point of you being here is hopefully when I speak these words from this book, they'll be planted in your heart and you will be able to grow spiritually as an independent spiritual being and enjoy what God has for all of us here in this world. There's two ways we can walk in this world. And God talks about it. And before I get into the story, I'm going to read a story from the Old Testament today that I hope will bring a key to opening up the glory of God and the power of God in your life. Basically, what we have to make a choice is, and the Bible talks a lot, is about walking in faith, walking in truth, walking in faith. Well, what does that mean? Walking in the Spirit. Really two different things, walking in the Spirit and walking with faith. It says that as Christians, we are not to walk by sight. And what does that mean? Well, if you walk by faith, you can't walk by sight. And if you're walking by sight, you can't walk in faith. Because what God is saying to us is, look, I know things around you in this world can get really messed up and broken. It can be hard. It can be difficult. But I want you to rely on the power of my word and stories and trust. I have your back. Trust Him and believe His word that He is always working in your life, no matter what the sight is around you, the physical. You know, listen, I visit people in hospitals that are very sick. You hear about people that are just going through horrendous things. It's going to happen whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. But what if you're empowered by the word of God, you can walk through these valleys of the shadow of death and still have hope and joy and peace in your heart. And if we learn to do that, it changes everything. And then we accomplish what this fruit is designed to do. It's not just for our own enjoyment. It's for us to be this beacon of light and hope to so many others who are broken, who will eventually come to us and say, where do you get your hope? Where do you get your peace from? That is the plan. That's what God wants us to be. When these girls sing, when they fill their spirit with the Spirit of God and let the Holy Spirit come through those words, it's about radiating. There is hope in the blood of Jesus, if you understand it. There is hope in all these wonderful things in this Bible. So today, we're going to go to the Old Testament, and I'm going to set this up for you about what's going on. We're going to talk about King David, but what we're going to be talking about, yes, this is the David that killed Goliath with the slingshot. It's that David. But he's not king yet. David, even though he was anointed king, he went through hell. I mean, his life was not easy. There's another great thing about David. You know, Jesus is known as the son of David. David in the Old Testament is what's known as the precursor to Jesus. He was like the a symbol of who Jesus was to come. It's interesting that King David was born in a little place in the Middle East called Bethlehem. We know somebody else that was born in Bethlehem. David was a shepherd, a lonely shepherd, poor shepherd boy. Jesus is our shepherd of, we're his flock. He's our shepherd. There's all, there's no way any of this could be made up. It is so intertwined from the Old Testament, New Testament. This story that I'm going to be reading to you is 3,000, we have to go back 3,000 years from today. That's what we're talking about. So Bethlehem, even Bethlehem, the Hebrew term Bethlehem is Beth, which means house, and Lechem, if you said it in a Jewish way, Hebrew way, Lechem is of bread. So that even the town has a symbolic name, the house of bread. It's where David was born, it's where Jesus was born. So here we are. David has already killed Goliath. This is where I'm going to pick up with this little story. It's not a well-known story in the Bible, but it says so much to us. It just speaks to the power. All these stories have so much to give us. So David has, he will become the anointed king because Samuel anointed him, the prophet anointed him. But right now, in this part of history, there is a different king, King Saul, who started out as the man of God. But then when David killed Goliath, Saul became extremely jealous and envy, and it ate him up. He lost his peace of God. He became a madman. And so here David was the chosen one, and Saul used to love David because David would go play his harp for Saul when Saul was feeling down. David became best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. He was like part of the family. But then he went out and he killed Goliath. And that's when all the people started chanting, David, he slays 10,000. Saul does his 1,000. David, 10,000. And the rage, the jealousy, the envy of Saul, it destroyed him. He literally became a madman. So David, at this point, he's already... He knows that King Saul is after him. He's trying to kill him. Everywhere David goes, he's got this little ragtag entourage army with him, and he's running away from Saul, and Saul's trying to hunt him down to kill him. It doesn't make sense. And David, you can read some of the Psalms of how he's struggling. God, what have I done wrong? What is wrong here? Why am I going through all this? It's miserable for him. And he doesn't understand. And he knows he's a man of God. And he believes in God. And what the real crazy thing is, he's still honoring Saul as king. David doesn't even have anything against Saul. He's confused. Why is this man trying to destroy me? So let me read this little story. And then we're going to get into it and see what God will give us in our hearts from this. This is from the book of 1 Samuel, 23rd chapter. It says, "Then they told David, saying, 'Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors.'" In other words, they were coming in to steal all the food. "Therefore David," this is important, "therefore David inquired of the Lord. And he said, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah.' But Keilah is the name of a little town. But David's men said to him, 'Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' And then David went back to the Lord and he inquired again. He asked the Lord, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hands." And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines. And they struck them with a mighty blow and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, who was a priest back then, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with the ephod in his hand. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I'll explain that. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering into a town." So here's King Saul. He finds out that David has gone to this little town, this little fortress, and he's there with his men. So Saul, he goes and calls his army together and ready to go to war so he can go down and kill David and his army. And when David knew and found out that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar, the priest, "Bring the ephod here." And then David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hands?" These are the people he just saved. And David's going to God saying, "God, am I safe here? Can I hide here with my men? Or are the people of this city going to get afraid when King Saul's armies come, and are they going to turn me into him?" And the Lord said to him, and David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord of Israel, tell me your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down, and they will deliver you over to the men of Saul. They will deliver you." So David and his men, about 600 of them, arose and departed Keilah and went wherever they could. In other words, they ran back into the rocks, into the caves. They went back into the desert to hide. Now, probably not a story that most of you are that familiar with, but there's so much information. This little story, 3,000 years old, can give us a key to walking in God's kingdom. Because I know when you start looking at this, what all this says to us. First of all, David is worn out. He has been chased by King Saul. His men are worn out. He cannot, his energy is drained, his spirit is low. And then he hears of this little town, Keilah, K-E-I-L-A-H, that's going to be attacked by the Philistines. They're going to go in and rob this people's food. And David gets angry at that because he's a man of God. He's a just man. So what's he do? He could have said, "Look, I'm out. I've got my own issues. I don't have time to run over there. I'm worn out. My men are worn out." But no, what's he do? Right off the bat, when he hears this news, he inquires of the Lord. He goes directly to God because he knows in his spirit, "I think I should help these people. I know I'm worn out. I'm frazzled. I don't have hardly any energy." But what's he do? The first thing he does, he inquires of the Lord. "Lord, should I go and get involved?" And what's the Lord say? "Yes. You go, I will deliver the Philistines in your hand." So David, he goes, okay, because he's walking not by sight, because by sight you'd go, "I'm out of here." He's walking in the Spirit. He's walking with God in the promises of God. So he goes to his men and he announces to them, "Listen, guys, here's what we're doing. I know you're tired. I know you're beat. I know you're worn out. I know that you're missing your families. I know we've been out in the desert and we've been struggling and we're running from Saul. But we are going to go to this little town, Keilah, and we have to save them because the Philistines are going to attack them and destroy them. They're going to steal their food." And the men complain to him. They say, "Listen, David, no. We've got enough on our plate. We can't get involved. We're tired. We're worn out." So what's David do? So he's listening to his men and going, "Okay, maybe I got this wrong." He goes back to God again and he inquires of the Lord. He says, "God, am I to go to Keilah? My men are tired. They're worn out. They're saying, no, this is not a good thing to do." And the Lord answers David in his spirit, in his heart, and says, "No, you can go. My hand will be with you and I will deliver you." So David goes back to his men and says, "Listen, men, God is going to be with us. It's okay." So they're worn out. They're tired. They're dragged. They march to this little town. And sure enough, the Philistines are coming. But God gave them the power to defeat the Philistines. And they got a bounty out of it. They took the Philistines' cattle and whatever else they, you know, back then when you whipped up your opponent, you took his goods, his gold, his whatever he had. So now the men are fairly excited. But after this battle is over and they've won, David at that point says, he finds out through a priest that Saul has found out that he's in this little fortified city. And Saul is all excited. I've got him. Because he's in this city. I'm going to send my army there and we're going to destroy David. But David goes to the priest. And the priest comes to David. And they talked about this ephod. It was a robe that the priest wore back then. And we don't have this today, but there were stones in this robe. And somehow, which we don't understand, they would read these stones and pray over it or whatever. And God answered through that and said, listen, this is bad. Saul's coming. He's warning David. Because David is walking in the spirit of God's truth. God will communicate to you when there's trouble. On what you should do and not do. So David heeded that word and said, look, we got to get out of here. Because he inquired, he says, yeah, but... Because at first he's walking, he's listening by sight, he's looking, he's saying, but maybe we could hide in this fortress, this town of Keilah, that's all fortified here. Couldn't we just hide here, God? And God says, oh no, don't hide there. Because these people, when that army comes, of Saul's army comes, they're going to be afraid and they're going to turn you over to Saul to protect their own hide. Don't do it. You got to go. So again, David heeds the voice of the Lord and leaves and escapes and is on for... Now we enter, you know, other chapters of story. Now, so think about this. When I was thinking about this, how many times in our life, in Christians' lives, people who believe in God, and you're asked to do something, you're asked, you see something, you know there's something wrong. Do we inquire of God or are we walking by sight? So many times, there's so much to do in God's kingdom as Christians. We are called upon to be the voice, the arms, the legs of Jesus Christ. But people say, listen, I've got issues, I got problems, I'm dealing with stuff. I can't get involved in that over there. I've got my own troubles. My back hurts. I'm losing my job. And yet God has maybe laid something on your heart. And so your immediate answer is, look, I've got my own troubles. I can't get involved with that over there. I can't do it. You know, people are asked, do you want to join the choir? Do you want to teach Sunday school? Do you want to be a greeter? Do you want... Now, our church is a little different. We're kind of like David's army. We're more ragtag, kind of show up here, go up there. We don't have all the structure. But yet, God will speak to your heart at times and say, He'll lay something on your heart and you go, there is no way, I can't get involved in that. Well, what do we do in those cases? Do we jump in and get involved? No. What is the lesson David taught us? You inquire of the Lord first. There's a million great causes. You can't get involved in all of them. You can't. But when God lays something on your heart and you inquire of Him, should I get involved? Should I write the check? Should I go paint the house? Should I put an army together to help with this situation? Should we do this? Should we do that? Inquire of the Lord first. And let Him send His peace and guidance, and He will. And then act. And I think that little story, because listen, in this life, there will never be a perfect time to do anything for God. Because we all have our stuff. Even when life is good, there's stuff. You got to deal with employees, you got to deal with your neighbors, you got to deal with illnesses, you got to deal with bills, you got to deal with broken cars, you got to deal with, well, now what am I going to do? The whole thing, the great blessing of Christianity is, listen, we can walk by sight or we can walk by faith. And faith is when we are trusting, it's trust. Faith is trust. Faith is trust, that's what it is. And when you trust in something, you will do that. And Christians have a hard time today because they don't connect with God enough. That's what all this is about, staying connected to the vine. Now, I'm going to show a video here in a minute. And I want to fill in on something. When I was working on this sermon, I didn't go out and look for a video. I never do that. This video, by divine guidance, showed up in my email box through something I had subscribed to, which 90% of the time I never read. I get rid of it. I just don't have time to read everything that gets sent. But I watched this video and I had this bingo. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. It's like God sent this video to me to say, look, this is a living example of exactly what you're talking about. Now, I want to set this up. There's going to be a young mother talking. Young mother. She's got 5 children. But here's what I want you, because you could miss this, but this is important to this story. This young mother was brought up in the foster care system. And she had a hard life, a very hard life. But it prepared her for what was about to happen. What happens to your heart when we see that? In 1 John it says, God is love. Love has to be put into action. All I'm saying to you today, when we learn about King David, I want all of us to walk in the Spirit of God. Why? Because the world needs us. But we must, as Christians, align ourselves and be as David did. What did he do? He inquired of God. When you're walking in the Spirit of God, you never lose contact with God. You're in constant communication. God, should I get involved here? God, should I do this? God, what about this? You learn to live that way and your life is going to change. And you will change the lives of others. That is the point of all of this. Amen? Father, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit into each and one of us today to bring us hope, to give us courage to come to you and know that you will always lead us. You will always guide us. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for everyone here. God, I just ask you to open a heart. I don't know what you're going through out there, but I think the message is this. No matter what you're going through, whether you're like King David and you're worn out and you're down and you're frustrated, or if you're like this young mother who already had her hands full, if you put something in our life, give us the courage to come to you first, inquire of you, and if you give us the thumbs up, we know that you will help us provide. I mean, one last thing. I will tell you, I know somebody personally who did this, and we know them because it's one of our missions. It's African Vision of Hope, Bob and Judy Bertels. They took one Zambian kid, but they had no idea. All they were is business owners, and they found out his story and said, well, we want to help you. One kid. Today, 3,000 children every day are being fed, clothed, schooled, and taught the love of Jesus Christ. That is how God comes in and He will equip us to do amazing things. Are we a small church? Yes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When God comes into your life, everything is possible. I'm going to let the girls close out with a good song here. And I just ask you all to be blessed with these words.